This is an essay titled Mom in Boots, written by Lennon Sundance. It's from You Look Too Young to Be a Mom. Waiting Room Lesson by Elizabeth Strader from You Look Too Young to Be a Mom, Teen Mothers Speak Out on Love, Learning, and Success. I was sitting in the pediatrician's waiting room with my three-month-old daughter. She sat quietly on my lap, looking through the book of photographs as I turned the pages. My nose was pressed against the top of her head, smelling her warm, powdery smell. She made soft noises as I tapped the pages and repeated the names that matched the smiling faces of her extended family. I bent over her, trying to ignore the cool disapproval on the faces of the other parents in the waiting room. I looked younger than my 19 years. Since my pregnancy began to show, strangers had looked sadly at me, smiling sympathetically or shaking their heads. One unforgettable encounter on the subway in late pregnancy still sounded in my ears. "Oh, is the baby kicking you?" a woman asked with saccharine sweetness as I rested my hand on my taut belly. I nodded politely and looked away. "You aren't old enough to be married. Was this a planned pregnancy?" she continued, nastily pleasant, as I turned my face toward the window. I smoothed my shaking hands over the elbow, heel, or shoulder that rippled unseen beneath the surface of my skin. "Are you still in touch with the father?" Her voice had taken on the slightest antagonizing pitch. Choking with rage, I said nothing, and she got off at the next stop, while my face burned. I looked down at my overlooked wedding band. I was glad she hadn't seen it. I didn't need a wedding ring to tell me that this baby, while not planned, was fiercely loved and wanted. From the day I knew I was carrying her, I was determined that this flutter of a child would never think she had not been wanted. I didn't need to justify my pregnancy to anyone. I paused between photos of great-grandmother and Auntie Kate, and my daughter's hand patted my arm softly, and her wide baby eyes looked up at me. Next to me in the waiting room sat a well-dressed woman, her body still swollen from pregnancy. Her hair was a salon-expensive shade of blonde, smoothly pinned up. The setting in her engagement ring would have paid my rent for years. Her face, beneath the makeup, was showing the laugh lines of a woman in her late 30s, aging gracefully. I thought idly that she was old enough to be my mother. In a car seat at her feet slept an impossibly small newborn. I had seen that beribboned cashmere outfit in the window of a high-end baby boutique on St. Clair Avenue. As I looked at the little red face, my daughter suddenly felt large, substantial in my arms. The baby began to stir, tiny mouth opening and closing like a fish. Soon a nasal squall began to rise. The woman carefully unbuckled the straps of the car seat. Her husband began poking around in the designer diaper bag while she sniffed at the baby's fist-sized bottom and decided it must be hunger that had roused her. She looked around the small, cramped waiting room. I could see a wet stain spreading across her breast, leaking through her ironed blouse. She looked briefly at her husband and began to unbutton her shirt, starting at the collar. By the time she had unfastened enough to unhook her nursing bra, most of both breasts were exposed. Blushing furiously, her husband draped her with a blanket, then his jacket. The baby arched her back and screamed. Her tiny tongue protruded from her lips, and I could hear the desperation in the woman's whispers. "John, she won't latch on. I can't see what I'm doing with that blanket in the way." The husband protested over his wife's absence of modesty, but even when he removed the jacket, the hungry baby cried on. I could see tears well in the mother's eyes. I cleared my throat. "Would you like some help?" Startled, she looked at me, and her husband's expression mirrored hers. My face burned, and for an endless moment I knew what they were thinking. Who was I to offer help? My hair slid into my eyes, reminding me I had not had time to wash it that day. My daughter was picking at the fringed hole in the knee of my jeans. My face, bare of makeup and pinched from sleepless nights and early morning feedings, made it clear that I was barely out of childhood myself. Who was I to help anyone? In that silent pause in the waiting room, the mother's eyes slid down to my daughter, plump and pinkly perfect. I silently lifted my shirt and slowly brought my daughter to my breast. When my nipple brushed her cheek, she instinctively turned and opened her mouth. Her lips flared in a textbook perfect latch. I unlatched her gently and offered her the breast again. She opened wide, and we repeated our wordless lesson. The woman next to me took a breath, looked down at her still screaming daughter, and followed my movements, bringing the already open mouth to her breast. Like magic, the tiny jaw began to work, and tension ebbed from mother and daughter as milk began to flow. I was aware of my surroundings again. I showed her how to unbutton her shirt from the bottom to be more discreet. When she began to stroke her nursing baby's hair, I turned away. Her name was called, then mine. As my daughter finished her meal in the privacy of the exam room, I was struck by the power of my own body. My daughter's sturdy arms and rounded cheeks have sprung from nothing but my body. Since conception, her growth has been sustained by my blood, my milk, my life. The doctor entered and ended my reflection. He carried out her well-baby evaluation, hailing my daughter as a model of perfect infant health and development. Descending the stairs to the street, I saw the couple from the waiting room buckling their daughter's car seat into the leather interior of their late model Audi. Over the roof, the new mother's eyes met mine, and she smiled warmly. For one moment in that waiting room, we had been brought together. We were both women, and that was no small thing. I smiled back and crossed the street to head home.